Hey, Steve, when you go to conventions, what do you go for?
Hardcore gaming.
Pretty much, right?
Absolutely.
So, when you see a convention coming up in the Chicagoland area, like Dragonfall, what are you going there to do?
I'm going there to play some games.
And that's right. So, for those who are interested, Dragonfall is a two-day gaming convention, October 15th and 16th at Pheasant Run in St. Charles. This is the second year. They are having two-day 40K championships with the ITC format at 1850 points. They're also going to have a two-day event for Kings of War, one of your favorite games.
Nice.
And they're also having a two-day X-Wing event and a lot of single-day events, including Infinity, Bolt Action, Ninth Age using the Ninth Age scenarios, Arena Rex, which is...
Arena Rex!
I was going to say a game that we both love.
That's a good one.
X-Wing, X-Wing Hangar Bay, and X-Wing Trench Run, which was at the Bolt Action Room in Adepticon, if you saw it, which was a neat-looking table. If you guys are interested, you go to www.dragonfall.com. That's dragon-fall.com, where you have all your information needs.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Some stiff Kickstarter stuff. I noticed. Well, I guess I don't necessarily.
More like Lickstarter.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve.
Hello. Dragon Dash Fall.
Dragon Fall.
Do we do another commercial?
No, we're I'm going to use the same one from before.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so we don't have to, we don't have to worry about it too much. We'll probably have to record something new after Dragon Fall, which is coming up.
There's going to be a Bazaar.
There is. I'm kind of excited about that. I'll go to that. I always like bazaars. I don't know why. I don't need anything, but I just like going there and going, ooh, and like twiddling my fingers like Homer. Like, ooh.
Why, I could use an original Carl Franz.
I already have two.
But you know what would make it better?
Three. Even though I'm not touching, I haven't touched those models in like 4 years.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That means it's time to grow that collection.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was playing some Age of Sigmar, and I was telling you that I just was like, screw it, I'm just going to create a new army for Age of Sigmar. I'm going to put it all on round bases. I'm not going to do any of the square base and using my square base. It just, I don't feel right doing it. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's because like 6th edition is so holy to me that I don't want to foul it with the Age of Sigmar. But playing with
the 6th edition was already pretty fouled with the Storm of Chaos.
Please. Storm of Chaos was really fun.
Other than the fact that it ruined tournaments, but yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll give you it ruined tournaments, but it was very fun to play. Great list to build.
Hilarious though is Workshop planned that campaign to go a certain way. They planned for Chaos to win, but Chaos got their shit handed to them because they made it based on player reports.
Yeah,
and because Chaos got their shit handed to them, like they didn't have a contingency plan, and they're like, Chaos was supposed to win. What do we do? And that's why they were just like, vote. And that's why like Grimgor randomly like comes in and like punches Archaon.
Yeah, he punches Archaon and then walks away. Yeah. Like.
That is
the dumbest ending ever.
Well, I mean, you can blame the fact that the Chaos players sucked it up and didn't win enough.
Yeah, well, the Chaos Codex and the Chaos Army book back then blew.
It was not the greatest.
No, it wasn't. It was pretty awful, actually.
The Demon armies were really good, but Demon armies were also really expensive.
Yeah, and that was the thing. It was like the best army that they put in the Storm of Chaos book was pretty much the Demon armies. The Slayer list was pretty good, too.
Slayer list was good, but the Demon armies were, I would say, the strongest, but they were also by far the most expensive.
Yeah, because you had to buy all metal models.
Yeah, it was an all-metal army with lots of conversions.
Yeah, tons of conversions, like expensive conversions,
yeah,
too.
Like the Disc Riders, the Flamers. The most expensive unit of Flamers, which are already expensive, on Discs of Tzeentch, which are crazy expensive.
Being pulled by...
that's the Chariot.
Yeah, the Chariot.
The Screamers on top of that. Yeah, expensive army.
Yeah. But, I got to admit.
You won. You fucking won if you had it.
Yeah, you paid if you won. And you paid to win. It was definitely...
I think it was the most egregious example of pay to win I've seen in Workshop.
Yeah,
because it was so costly in comparison to the other armies.
I don't know. Like current 40K is pretty.
I think 40K is more stay current to win. Like if a new thing comes out and you buy it, you have the.
Yeah, I mean, I look at 40K games now and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this game is so huge.
Yeah, they're And people play huge, but that, I mean, that's also like a player base fault. Like, why are you playing such giant
armies?
Games?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, like, they're playing these giant games, and not only that, but they have giant, like, the giant figures for it, right, too. And I'm just like, oh, Christ.
Yeah, well, I mean, having one of those would be cool, but the needing three is not really.
I play the Age of Sigmar stuff, so I was like, I have like a ton of like inbox stuff just in my closet,
mm-hmm,
just tons. So I was like, well, what do I do? I'll do the elves, because they're going to come out with an elf book soon. And
elves.
elves. And I was like, well, I'll give it a try. So I put it together. I put together a bunch of old stuff that I had. And I had a tree man. I was like, oh, tree man would be great. I could put it in there. I got some dryads. I'll put those
tree
up
man.
There. So I got...
I'm Saul Treeman.
Saul Treeman. It's Treeman. The Tremens.
It's like Steve Lichman.
Yeah, I saw Steve Lichman. That's old, though. That's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But the so I pulled it out of the box, and I looked at the sprues, and I just looked up, and I just went, fucking hell. This thing is awful. It was one of the worst models I've ever had to put together in my life.
Nice.
Like, for the final model that you get out of it, I was just like, this is ridiculously hard to put together. Like, and it took me to put together the one model. It seriously took me about an hour to an hour and a half. You know, I used plastic glue, so I had to let certain things set for a sure. while before I could put it in. And the biggest kick in the pants at the end of it all is that once I had it, it was like too big for the base that it came with. I was just like, fuck this.
That's great.
Yeah. I didn't have, it was pre-Age of Sigmar base.
So it was just a big square?
Yeah. So I was just like, fuck this. God damn it.
Yeah, you got to get that round base.
Round base. No, and I was a little pissed off about that. But anyway, well, let's stick with GW news as long as we're on it so far. So,
Gene Stealer Cult. That's pretty fucking sweet.
I don't know. It comes with like weird little tyke toys for their vehicles. You know how you're usually the one that's like salty about the vehicles, like you think they look really stupid. I think this thing looks ridiculously
stupid. I didn't see their vehicles.
Oh my god! I gotta see if I can bring it up.
I just saw the actual cultists, and the actual cultists were pretty cool looking.
Oh hey!
Did they do a limo?
No, they did not do a limo.
That's bullshit. That's like the iconic Gene Stealer Cult vehicle is the fucking limo.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, let me see.
It's really weird. You know if there's plans for a limo?
I don't care that much.
That's just weird. I mean, I want a limousine.
Yeah, I want I'm sure you could put the Gene Stealer limo on there. Let me see. I'm trying to pull it up. It looks literally like a little Tykes toy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I only saw the figures, which look good because, you know, they're just Gene Stealer cultists.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, the Gene Stealer, what I kind of like about it is they look Rogue Trader-ish.
Yeah.
Like I was,
they look contemporary, but also old school.
Yeah. Oh, they got a picture of the drawing, but not the actual vehicle. Let me see.
That's a shame.
I've seen pictures of the actual vehicle. It looks almost identical to this.
Oh, okay, the little fucking clown car.
Yeah, but it's got like huge wheels on it.
So it's like that new Imperial Guard car, where it's just like it's got gigantic wheels.
No, well, the Imperial Guard car had tracks
for the
wheels.
Yeah, instead of wheels, there were tracks.
There were track wheels.
There were four tracks.
No, this thing actually has wheels on it. So GW is no longer afraid of putting wheels on Imperial wheels.
Vehicles. There's a step forward.
Yeah, I was looking at the thing and I just like I kind of shook my head and like this looks like something that I took from my newborn child's toy chest and just painted it and put some Gene Stealers on it.
Nice.
I was like, ugh.
Sounds great.
This thing looks terrible. I mean, at least they're going back a little bit. Who knows? Squats maybe next. We could bring back the squats.
We could bring back the squats.
This is like part of GW's whole like goodwill tour that they're doing.
They really are.
It's like when Obama goes to China, GW's kind of like, okay, we have to get the locals to like us, so how are we going to do this? Let's bring back Gene Stealer Cult. Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, that seems like a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they've for 40K, they've come out with a couple new armies as of late.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've been dumping the new factions for sure, like
the Skitarii.
Yeah, isn't that just the Adeptus Mechanicus?
Yeah.
Why did they call it the Skitarii?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's so weird.
It's stupid. It's a stupid name, too. Yeah. Skitarii.
That is the most inconsistent model range I think I've seen out of any army for Workshop. It's like, there's some figures that I'm like, those are fucking sweet. And then there's other ones where I'm like, that's the stupidest.
Yeah, I kind of agree on that one. Like, I love all of, like, the basic troopers. I think they look...
Oh, the basic troops look awesome.
Yeah, and some of the vehicles, though, are really bad.
Yeah, the Spider Walker's okay.
Yeah.
Some of their robots are very odd looking. Like, they just look out of place.
I'm not a big fan of walkers in general. For any sort of game system. So, like, I like when vehicles in...
I like when walkers are weird.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, what I like is in any game, and this is really weird, and I know you probably won't care about it, but I like it when there's some consistency amongst, like, tech of, like, a faction where it's like, okay, I could see how this evolved from this and this, and, like, their kind of combat fighting doctrine and stuff like that. It's really dumb, but it goes back to, like, my fantasy science fiction roots.
Wouldn't their thing be, like, the extrapolation of the fucking Imperial Guard walker?
Well, yeah, kind of, but, I mean, that's... I'm not specifically with the Skitarii, but any sort of faction. Like, what I like about Space Marines is... most, like, let's say 75% of all Space Marine stuff.
All their vehicles are blocky.
Yeah, it all kind of...
Everything, even their flyers are blocky.
It all evolved from, like, the same doctrine. Like, some of the flyers look awful.
But they're blocky.
But they're blocky, and I could kind of see...
And everything they have is blocky.
Where it evolves from, right? You could kind of see, like, this leads to this, leads to this, leads to this. I like that. Certain games are really terrible about that, where you have... Where you'll have something like... Like, let's say you have, like, all of the Space Marine tanks, and then all of a sudden you see their flyer and it looks like a Tau drone, and you're just like, where the fuck did that come from? Yeah. That does not look right. It doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't,
the Space Marines have looked visually consistent. You want visual consistency.
Visual consistency, yeah. I mean, that's like a problem I'm having with a lot of, like, weird war games lately, you know, like K-47 or Secrets of the Third Reich or anything like that. Conflict 47 is a perfect example. You have all of U.S. tanks kind of look relatively similar. You have a similar design. You could kind of see the evolution of the design. And then all of a sudden they have, like, oh, Clockwork Goblin designed a walker for the U.S. infantry, and this is where it is. Well, where the fuck did this come from? There would be an evolution. Like, they wouldn't just have a walker. There would be, like, previous incarnations of this walker that were less effective to come up with the new one.
Crappier one.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense for all of a sudden in 1947 for the U.S. to have this fucking walker. It's stupid. It's a stupid concept, and I hate it. And it's like, why would a walker be effective at all? If walkers were effective in combat, we would have designed it to, you know, already. It wouldn't have just been like an idea that they threw out there.
I think we just logistically can't put walkers together that are reasonable.
Yeah, you would need
a technology that we don't have at this time.
Exactly. So that's like, why is this in this fucking game? It doesn't. It's stupid.
Maybe later. You know, I think if you have grasping appendages, yeah, you could create a very effective walker. Something that could just, because the concept is like you need to go over like weird terrain.
Yeah.
But I don't think our... Well, I mean, considering we're on a planet, like, so the World War II one makes no sense.
Yeah.
A space version of a walker makes a little bit more sense because your terrain is a lot more, you know, whatever. Like, who fucking knows?
Well, and that's why I always kind of like Star Wars, the original trilogy. Let's not get into the prequels. But, I mean, at least, like, you have the AT-AT. Okay. It's a stupid vehicle. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but...
It looks cool.
It looks really cool. And they make the little AT-STs, which kind of look like similar in right. design structure. So you're like, okay, I get it. This kind of makes sense. This is what the Imperials go for with a lot of their stuff. And now it's just like, fuck, who cares? Let's sell some toys. You know? Oh, my God. So the Rogue One stuff. I know you're not super excited for Rogue One, but you like
Rogue One looks good.
It looks decent.
Rogue One looks like it's going to be my favorite Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
because it has none of the things that I don't like about Star Wars.
Well,
maybe at least according to the trailers.
I
hate Jedi. Well, I think Jedi are fucking stupid.
I don't think there'll be any like Jedi. There's one guy who's like
Force sensitive, which is not the same.
Yeah, but the toys. So my daughter loves Star Wars toys.
Because everyone argues that Han Solo is Force sensitive anyway. So
that's a stupid argument.
Well, it made sense before midichlorians.
They're coming out with all the toys for it, and you know, I think it's September 30th they're all dropping, and I'm gonna pick up some of them because what I like is that there's a female lead in there, and that's always great for my daughter. I'm very excited about that.
You think Lando's gonna be in it?
Oh, I hope so. I hope it's Donald Glover Lando too.
See some Lando.
Well, I was watching Star Wars Rebels. You ever see that cartoon?
Mm-mm.
It's not bad. It's very kiddie, but it's kind of fun. And Lando shows up in their voice by Billy Dee Williams.
Nice.
And I'm like, Penny, it's Lando. And she's like, who? I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, I'm not going to know who Lando is.
I'm like, you've seen Empire. She's like, yeah. Not my favorite.
Empire's lame.
He's not in Force Awakens, so I don't care. That's the only one she cares about. But they have they're coming out with the AT-AT, like a new toy based on the one in the movie. It's called something different. But it's remote controlled from your phone. So you buy an app and it, you know, you can control it from your phone.
Like the BB-8?
Yes. I'm like, oh man, that would be so cool. But it's like $200 and something. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not gonna buy this. It would be something for me, and I don't want my kid playing with it. So
yeah, this is my toy.
My toy. Most of her toys are my toys anyway, but we put up with the illusion that they're hers. It's okay. Yeah. But that's, I was like, oh, that'd be so cool. Have a remote controlled AT-AT. That's like a real remote controlled AT-AT.
It'd be pretty sweet if you got a drone land speeder.
Yeah.
And fucking spin it or fly it around the legs.
I tried flying those. I'm not a huge fan of them.
Drones?
Yeah.
They're pretty cool. I mean, I don't see the like draw for being the like casual enthusiast, but I also am not a, I also don't see the draw for like a remote controlled airplane.
Exactly. Like I live out where I live right by the prairie. We were talking about that before, so I don't know why I said it like that. But in the prairie, there's like a bunch. There's like a group that comes out there and they do the RC stuff. So mm-hmm. they have like a little landing field and everything out there.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm just like, okay,
sure. Yeah, yeah, it does not. Like I'd rather not. Just that's really. Yeah. That's like I'd rather not do that.
It's like when we talk about like you know, like hobbies that skirt so closely to wargaming, like, or tabletop gaming.
Trains, people
who just paint models, RC yep. cars. It's like, it's so close, but
yeah,
it's,
you're almost there.
It's like a limit. Like you can only get so infinitely
there's
close.
There's a threshold.
But they never, it's the threshold of hell. Yeah. Never the twain shall meet. Like my stepfather loves building models. He's always done that. So you'd think we'd get along, like we'd have that similar. No, every once in a while he'll be like, you know, what do you think of this paint line? And I'll be like, oh, well, yeah, I use this paint line. I like it a lot. And it's like, I like it. It's acrylic. You get a really nice flat color with these. Like, ah, I don't know about that. I'm not a big. I like a little gloss to mine.
He likes the glossy.
I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, so many of the. Well, that's the thing, because so many model painters like that glossy finish because they're painting like cars and stuff. Yeah. It's supposed to be
glossy, yeah.
Yeah, there needs to be a gloss, and that's why that's one of the weird things I see about like when I see Infinity tables and I see their cars painted, and I'm like, that's not what a car looks like. It's like that's why I like the. I think if I was super into Infinity, I would be 100% paying attention to what the Gundam modelers are doing because they do like the hyper realistic machinery. So like that's how I would paint my stuff.
I mean, Infinity is essentially for the people who like Gundam but are just like, I don't want to play Mech Warrior.
I think Infinity is dying.
You think so?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Something with Infinity and something I was going
to
bring up.
And I have no particular. I have no follow up to that comment. I just.
Yeah.
It's a perception.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll bring this up now. We'll get back to some other GW stuff a little bit later. But what do you think of MDF terrain? Like the Infinity Sarissa style foreground terrain.
The laser cut wood stuff?
Yeah.
Because
I'll tell you when after you tell me your opinion.
Some of it is very functionally playable. And it is very good for like, I am running a tournament and I need a lot of terrain for my tables.
Okay.
That is where I would begin and end that opinion on MDF.
I absolutely fucking cannot stand MDF anymore. It is awful. They don't look right. You have to put so much effort into it for the price you're paying for it.
That's the thing. There's so much MDF terrain out there. Like there's no consistency. Cause like I've seen some that are just like, it's basically just scaffolding.
Yeah.
It's like level. It's just to add height to the game. Like instead of hills, you have like these like weird kind of techno-y looking buildings. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I think those are like, they're good for like mass tables.
But
like I have 20 tables I need to get terrain on.
The problem
with
it is even that is too fucking expensive for what you're getting. I mean, like,
I've honestly never really priced them out. So because I have no interest in getting that as terrain. Okay. So I never looked at the price.
Think of like a small fantasy house. Like
sure.
We used to have at the
bunker. Let's say the chapel, the workshop chapel was $25.
$25 and that was plastic.
Yes.
Let's say foreground or Sarissa, which are the two big ones that I know off the top of my head, mm-hmm. it would probably cost like $30, $35 for that. And that you have to A.
Yeah, which is weird because you think it'd be cheaper.
Yeah, because MDF is super cheap, mm-hmm. like unbelievably cheap. And I know for one, a nice thing is that Infinity, there is a guy that literally just sells the files. So that you could ship it off to whatever, like a laser cutter yourself, or you could cut it yourself
right.
if you wanted to. If you had like a home print, if you had a home They have that.
It's not a 3D printer. They have that home laser cutter that's like pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
I've seen it. It's like, yeah. It's not pretty cheap, but
the
it's
surface. I mean, relatively.
Yeah. It's like $300, I think.
It's some punny kind of punny name.
Yeah. But it's
like the Light Forge or Master Forge or something.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. And you could feed that in and it would cut your MDF out for you.
And MDF is literally like the cheapest form of wood out there. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's like you could do that, or else you could ship it off. Like, we're lucky, you know, being in an urban area, there's a lot of maker studios around us that you could ship the files off to and say, print me off 800 sheets,
right?
And you know, you just pay for the material and like some operating costs and that's it.
Sure.
But I mean, like, you know, if you want to do fantasy terrain like that, or like if you play Malifaux,
I think it'd be really rough to do fantasy terrain with MDF. I think it's better for, like I said, like that kind of scaffolding, like stuff that's supposed to be straight lines.
Well, that's the thing with, at least in like historical gaming now. Now I'm getting historical. Sorry. But you could do that, and it's so expensive. Like $60 a house. Like,
yeah, that's pretty pricey.
And you could literally go to a
you
lot
buy of resin houses for
resin
cheaper than
houses
that.
For cheaper than that.
And they'll look better.
Yeah, exactly. And like, they can't get it through their heads. Like, I'm just like, this doesn't look good. This looks terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
There's like no, it's just so flat.
Plus, you could probably get like some of those silicone terrain pieces that would look better and be cheaper too. Those are mostly organic shapes. They're not buildings.
I was gonna say that's
the silicone stuff I've seen is actually really nice, but it's all like rocks.
Yeah,
like dead trees and stuff.
How come people don't do the foam injection anymore, Steve?
I think because it's just so fragile.
The biscuit foam. I miss the biscuit foam. I always liked the biscuit foam.
Yeah, I think it's just too fragile.
It was so light and fluffy. And like,
I liked when little kids would be coming in trying to build terrain with fucking that plant foam.
Oh,
the green stuff.
Yes.
And I'm just like, you can't do anything with that. Well, you just got to throw that away.
I always liked, well, you could do stuff with it, but you know, it would be like a hill. You know, you can't make a house out of the green.
Your options are, well, pretty much what you got.
Yeah. My favorite would be like,
actually, you could probably, you know what, if you got the circles, you could probably make decent hobbit holes.
Yeah, that's true too.
You could just cut them in half twice, and you've got four hobbit holes.
I always liked it when you'd have the biscuit foam terrain, and it'd always be the one kid who's trying to push into it with his finger. And you'd be like,
dick.
Stop it! And then he'd look at you, and then just keep pushing.
his finger just be going deeper and deeper.
Yeah. You're like, God damn it. Or like when you'd have the pink foam tables that would always stick up above the table lip.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid would take the red ruler and just stick it as far into the pink foam as he possibly could.
Bastards.
Oh, the damn wiener kids. But that's why you never make a table out of pink styrofoam.
Yes, never. Yeah, it's a highly recommend against that.
Yeah.
I like idiots. I'm a big fan of if you're doing a table, if it's not going to move, you should just sculpt on it with plaster of Paris and like what the hell? What's the shit you use to fill? Spackle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, spackle.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, spackle, foam, plaster, Paris. Just fucking sculpt it.
Actually, I like wood putty a little better than I like spackle. It's a little more expensive, but it's way more.
Yeah, same difference. Whatever you have to just sculpt the terrain on, like, just do that.
Well, I just did my whole table that I did, but I have to make mine movable because I can't have a permanent setup.
That's the thing. It's a difference. Everything you are doing requires a different approach. If it needs to be mobile, then you probably should, you know, all of your terrain should be modular. Like, every piece should be able to be taken off.
Well, I believe that as is as well. But what I did is, and it was pretty fun, is I just got some teddy bear fur from Joanne Fabrics. They had a sale where it's like you buy a yard, you get a yard free. So I bought a yard of teddy bear fur for $15. You take a pair of like a cheap pair of like beard clippers, and you could cut roads into it. And then I just sprayed it with matte sprays. And it looks fantastic.
Yeah. Alternatively, not the original Realm of Battle, but the new Realm of Battle for the ones that's the same price, the Sigmar one, that has six sculpted tiles. That's also a viable alternative. And it's still expensive. You could build one for much cheaper, but it's way better than their previous one that was just flat and super expensive. This one at least is like sculpted, it's very interesting, and it's got like there's like fucking rules you can use for it.
My biggest problem with that is it's just so bulky, like having to carry those tiles around.
Yeah,
It's kind of ridiculously bulky.
I think it's meant to be like, I don't know if it's meant to be as like that kind of transportable. I think it's meant to be something that you can have set up in a room, and then if you need to take it down, you're just like, you know, put it away, and then like you can put it back up. I don't think it's I'm not sure, like, because they don't really, you know, the workshop's just like, it's a table. Like, they don't really have any marketing past that. So I don't know if the, like, conceit of that design is like, you could just pick it up and put it down, because that's definitely not.
See, you should be doing like a GW commercial where you're saying that. Like, pick it up, put it down.
Yeah,
pick it
well,
up, put
I don't
down.
Think that's a viable use of that product.
No.
But I do like it. I think the terrain looks very nice. Yeah. I like that it's sculpted. It's cool. I wish they would do one for like a little more variety. Yeah. But I mean, at the moment, I like it.
GW's terrain has gotten too crazy for me lately. Like, to the point.
I really like the Realm Gates. The gates are really cool. The Ophidian Archway is a bit much.
I mean, like, I appreciate what they did, but I mean, it's just so kooky for
me. I mean, the Realm Gates make sense from a game standpoint because you're supposed to use them as like a teleport thing.
Yeah,
which is cool, and like that's an interesting addition to like your gameplay, like having like warp zones on the board is pretty cool. And
boop, 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 boop,
right, yeah, and I saw my idea is that you would have like if you had a 4x4 table, you can have 2 4x4 tables, and you could just have one warp to the other table. Like, that'd be cool. Like, have one in the center of the board, and then like have you have to like get to it and get to the other table.
It's just
be something interesting and fun.
Sounds more fun than it actually probably would play.
Don't know.
Yeah, because most of the time, Age of Sigmar just ends up as a big scrum in the center table.
Well, this would not be the scrum in the center.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's generally what it ends up.
Being. Sure. Yeah. That is a thing. I mean,
it's like, once you are engaged in combat, it
but
is.
But to be fair, most war games end up being
a scrum in the center. I am not arguing that at all. That is absolutely true.
Which is why I think putting a realm gate in the center of the board and making you have to go across another table would be interesting.
But you're making gamers have to move. That's the problem.
That's true. They'd be like,
this is garbage. This is garbage.
Oh, and officially, having come back from the Star Trek convention, I can say per capita, Gen Con absolutely crushed the Star Trek convention as far as the Freedom Scooters.
Yeah.
The TFT dubs. TFT dub presence at Gen Con is far, far greater than at Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah. In case anyone's wondering what TFT dub stands for, that is TFTW, which is too fat to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was way more at Gen Con than at... although, there was one uber fatty at the Star Trek convention, and he ran over Marina Sirtis's foot.
Ha!
With his fucking tart cart.
Should have saw that one coming.
That did.
Or no,
I saw
I'm saying
it happen.
No, I'm saying she should have saw that one coming.
Oh, it's right.
Because she's an empath, she should have been.
But I don't think. See, I don't think
this
she
fat guy's
able,
not going to move.
Right, I don't think she would be able to see it coming because it was not a planned action.
Oh,
if it's an accident, you can't predict that.
Well, she could read his thoughts and be like, he'd be like, I'm not moving.
Tacos.
This guy's not
beef
moving.
Beef and cheddar.
This guy's not moving. He's too into his tacos, and then she would move it out of the way. But poor Marina Sirtis.
Yeah, but she seemed to be okay. Gates McFadden thought it was the fucking funniest thing in the world. She was fucking laughing her ass off.
This is our obligatory Star Trek talk for all of
us. Well, I mean, I did just come back from a Star Trek convention.
Did you get any autographs?
I had Rene Auberjonal. I had him sign my Nuka-Cola hat. I had him sign it, Mr. House.
Okay. Did you should have got a... Your copy of the Little Mermaid DVD signed as well.
We were considering bringing Sebastian, like a Sebastian, but we didn't do that. He did sing Les Poissons. Yeah, he did sing it at his Q&A, which was awesome. We got a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
It was cool. I'd never been to a Star Trek convention before. I didn't actually know anything about a Star Trek convention at all, so I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
It's just Q&As with the actors.
Yeah, that's
pretty cool.
Star Trek conventions are... Like most fan conventions like that, it's all about going to the Q&As. If you don't like Q&As, which I'm not a huge fan of, it's not generally worth going to those sort of things. Because as I say, I don't know if we talked about it on the cast or afterwards, but I absolutely cannot stand when people go up there and they're just like, you meant so much to me growing up.
Did
I say that on the last podcast? I know we talked about it.
You didn't say it on the cast.
Okay.
That's actually a... interesting point is the people who ran this convention sent out like on their newsletter, they were like, do not do that. Like, we are all here because all of these actors have done something that means something to us. Everyone knows that. Do not waste everyone's time telling the actors that this story that they've heard a million times.
Yeah.
Everyone's here because this is important. If it wasn't important to you, you wouldn't be here. So please do not do these questions. And unfortunately, one person managed to make it through. And do the thing to Nana Visitor, which is just like, you beat so much to me. And it's just like, God, it's like, stop. There were some terrible questions.
The plight of the Bajoran people.
Yeah, there were some terrible questions, but she was the only one that actually like came through and did the fucking like sob story. Like no, like she didn't mean shit to you. She's a fucking character on a fuck TV show. She did not save your life.
I got important questions to ask.
Yeah, I gotta ask questions like, hey, when's Reanimator 4 coming out? I wanted to ask Jeffrey Combs that, but I didn't, because the fucking dude right, so I'm second in line, dude in front of him asks him about Poe, because he's doing a Poe Broadway thing or something, or on stage play, and it's supposed to be really good. Whatever it is, I want to see it. But Jeffrey Combs was talking about, you know, how that role came, and like he's like, you know, hey, you know, he was kind of like not resenting, but like pointing out, like, he was like, hey, I know I'm super typecast. Like, if they're like, well, if we want a mad scientist, we'll call you. And he's like, you know, I don't want to be just known as like the horror guy. Like, and he's like, there's a lot of other stuff I'd like to do, but people are only ever looking for me. And like, while he's going on this, I'm like, fuck, I was going to ask him about Reanimator. What the fuck am I going to ask him now? I'm standing in this line. I can't just leave. It'll be awkward.
That you literally had a George Costanza moment.
I had a Costanza moment. Like, I had the thing because I was talking about how I'm going to ask him this question. Like, the whole time leading up to the convention, I was telling everyone, I'm going to ask him about a Reanimator because I bet he knows, and I bet I have a feeling there's gonna be something. And I'm like building it up, like, Jerry, it's gonna be great. While it's doing it, it's just like, there would have been the voiceover, like, with my facial expressions of like, I can't ask that question now, I'll look like an asshole. It was that happened. It was pretty funny.
So how was the Andorian makeup?
He actually said before he started, he said, he's like, before we start, I don't have a favorite, and 2.5 hours. That's what he said. So it was pretty cool. We took a lot of pictures. We got pictures with Nana Visitor and Renee. Renee Auberjonos is like the nicest fucking person I've ever met in my life.
Well, he's an actor that's just been working in Hollywood forever.
That guy is ridiculous. Like, everyone, like, all the Deep Space Nine cast was far more friendly than any of the other cast, with the exception of Robbie McNeil, who was super fucking friendly.
I would have asked him how it felt to get his subplot cut from Star Trek VI. That's what I would have asked Renee Auberjonos. Like, I know you had a great part in Deep Space Nine, but how did you feel about getting your part cut from Star Trek VI, but then having it reinstated in the director's cut much later, which is a far superior film to the actual...
There were a couple people who asked, like, super in-depth universe questions. One of them was to LeVar Burton, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, it was a TV show. And he's like, he also was like, and I got to tell you that the ship you see on the screen, and she's the first question is like, no, don't say it. And he's like, okay. And then he goes to the next question. But that was pretty funny.
Yeah, you gotta do like the Family Guy thing where it's like, I have an artisanal well on my property. I've been getting low pressure lately. This question's for...
It could be a regional thing.
This question is for Jonathan Frakes. I have a dry Richie. I have a dry itchy patch of skin on the back of my leg. I was wondering if it's just dry skin or if I should go see a doctor. Do you take hot showers? Yes, I do. It's dry skin.
Man.
Stewie gets all mad at them.
Yeah, that's good stuff. There actually was a moment, because when Jeffrey Combs was talking about Poe, I'm standing in line and this fucking like very rotund dude in a like weird like Star Trek onesie comes up behind me and like starts talking to the lady there, and he's like, is there any reason that they're not asking questions about Star Trek? And the lady's like, well, these actors have done a lot of things other than just Star Trek. And he's like, no, we're at a Star Trek convention. I was fucking laughing. I'm standing up there with there's a bunch of people. I'm clearly visible, so I can't die laughing as I want to. Because it would be like, you are a cartoon character. You are not a person. You are not real.
Every convention is filled with cartoon people.
It was fucking great. It was fun. But it was super fun.
We gotta come up with a name for those people. Like,
they're just cartoons.
I know.
The Charlie calls them Muppets.
That's a good.
He calls them Muppets because they're not real. They obviously have a hand up their ass animating them from somewhere.
I like the idea of calling them Muppets, but that's kind of detrimental to Muppets. Even though I do
he's
think
he's a very manly Muppet.
I think that
he's a Muppet of a man.
I think that the love of Muppets by the current generation is a little misplaced. I mean, Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island were not good movies in any sense of the word good.
I don't think, I think the older Muppet movies that I can recall, and it has been a while, are all strictly inferior to the new ones.
No, because Muppets Take Manhattan, The Great Muppet Caper,
again,
and the Muppet movie.
There's a huge gap. I haven't seen those movies in over a decade.
You know, they're a product of their time, so like you can't watch the Muppet movie without having an understanding of like 70s culture.
Mm.
So like if you're watching it and you're like, that's Paul Williams, and like my wife's like, who's Paul Williams? I'm like, God damn it, Diana.
It's Crocodile Dundee, isn't it?
No, Paul Williams is the guy who wrote Rainbow Connection.
Who's Crocodile Dundee?
That's Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan.
Now all of our Australian listeners are like, right, crikey, cunt, awesome.
I think, isn't Paul Hogan American?
No, he's Australian. Oh, he's like a huge, he got like convicted of tax evasion, though.
Nice.
But he's like one of the like ambassadors of like Australian culture, him and Yahoo Serious.
The best Australian film I've ever seen is The Promise.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's not fucking good. Yeah, it's not a, there's a couple good Australia. Australia has a pretty decent horror, like their horror genre films are very similar to,
was the Babadook Australian?
I think so.
I like the Babadook.
But their horror films are very similar to early Carpenter, like Last House on the Left. Mm. They like that like really crazy slasher.
I actually just watched The Conjuring 2.
I like that movie a lot.
It was good. I enjoyed it. I was
that scene where he's talking to her and it's blurred out. You know, like she's blurred out,
And he's in focus, and the thing is blurred in the back.
And then it's like they create. That was one of the best.
The camera work in that movie is fucking great. That was one of the things.
James Wan, right?
Yeah.
No, he is like the tension he builds with his camera.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable.
That was one of the that was one of the things. It's like, you know, like. You think you don't notice camera work when you're watching films, but when you see expert and I'm talking like S plus tier, which I would consider the Conjuring 2 S plus tier, which I would considering the Conjuring 2 to be, you notice because the camera becomes a part of the film, another actor, if you will. It's like the camera is a character in itself, and like just so like the opening sequence where it's going through the house and like just showing everyone kind of busy doing their own thing. It's just, it's so smooth. The transitions are so good, and it just, you know, something's gonna happen. That was brilliant, and that's you can't fake that, and you can't.
No.
There's horror films that try to do what he does and fail. And I was very impressed, because normally that's not something I noticed in a movie.
Did you see the first one?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, first one I thought was fantastic. So when the second one came out and I saw that it was pretty much all of like the same, like the director and
most
of
the
cast, I was like, I was telling Kevin, the guy I do Comic Book Logic with, I was like, we gotta go see this. Let's go see this. And so we went and saw it. We were gonna go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the podcast. And we were like, fuck it, let's go see Conjuring 2 instead.
You made a wise choice.
And we were like, this movie is fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really cool, and I was like, and I actually noticed. I'm like, damn, the fucking camera work of this movie is great.
Yeah.
That's not something I normally notice about a film, other than like something directed by Tarsem, which is like all fucking visual. Like the stories, or The Fall actually is a pretty decent story, but like The Cell's story is but the visuals are fucking great.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer great camera work in a non-fancy pants visuals as opposed to like crazy visuals. I'm just not a crazy visual guy. Like, I like them. I'm like, ooh, that's pretty. But then at the same time, I'm like, meh.
I didn't think the story was bad. It was just mostly like, it was just kind of weak.
They took Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs and just went
and
to his head.
Did a sci-fi thing, right.
Yeah.
Where do you come from?
Where do you come from?
I love it.
Big fat woman, right?
Oh, yeah. She's a portly woman. Goodbye, horses.
Fuck me. Fuck me. Why does your Buffalo Bill sound like Philip Seymour Hoffman? I don't know.
Oh, because they're the same person.
But yeah, it's
Philip Seymour Bill.
But yeah, like those type of people. Like, we're getting back to what I was saying about the Muppet people. It's just like, it's hard because you're just like, it so dominates their life. Like, that's their thing. And that's all they try to be.
It's just too much. It's like, dude, I understand you can love the shit out of something, but like, it, there's a, it's that threshold where you like, much like the terrible episode
of Voyager, worst episode of Star Trek ever.
I it's like that one and the hippie one are like the, for me, they're the duel.
No way. I love the hippie one.
I think that episode's so bad.
It's bad. It's stupid, but it reaches levels of camp that make it enjoyable. Threshold,
I guess Threshold's just actually bad. Your argument of going all the way around.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Minus that exception, I think they're both quite terrible.
Let's get back to some gaming stuff. I know.
Speaking of gaming stuff, I was super disappointed to find that there was no Modiphius wasn't there. I was hoping that they would have something there, but I guess they're not really doing a lot of promotion for Star Trek.
They don't
right
have
now
a ton of stuff available
right
to see.
Yeah,
so
it's all Mutant Chronicles right now. They're doing the remake of the Siege of the Citadel, and it was kind of funny. I loved Siege of the Citadel. That was a game I had as a kid. I fucking loved that game, and it was really. I had an interesting moment because I saw that they're redoing it. It was like all the new models, and the models look great. Like, you know, it looks fantastic. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather just buy like a fucking copy of the original game. I was like, I'd like the old one. It was just kind of weird. I was like, I'd buy a reissue before I bought a remake.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, that game, I don't know. It's like a, it was just, because it was just such a point in time game for me. And the game was bad. It wasn't a good game.
No.
But it looked cool. And, like, it, you know, the figures were neat. And it was kind of like, it was one of my first forays into, like, heavy miniatures based board games. Because I had, like, 40K models here and there, but I never played it. Like, I had a Eldar
Jetbike.
Mine
was X-Men Escape from the Danger Room.
Oh. X-Men. Were there a lot of minis with that?
Yeah. Well, they were, like, really big. They were, like, I don't know, 54s.
Oh, okay.
But they were like, and the game was awful, but it was just like really nicely sculpted X-Men figures.
Okay.
And I remember painting a bunch of them for my cousin who had it. I was like, I want to paint these figures.
Nice.
And he was like, okay. So I painted it and he never like did anything with it. But I was like, if I got a copy of that, I would repaint all the figures to like look like seriously nice. Yeah,
my neighbor had HeroQuest. So like I played the shit out of HeroQuest with him and I was like, this is awesome. And then I got Siege of the Citadel and we played Siege of the Citadel. And it was just cool. I don't know. It was just, and it was, I think that was like when I saw that they were redoing it, I was like, there's just no way they're going to make it as good as the original. Cause like,
they can't make it as bad to be as good.
Exactly.
As the original.
Like you can't, you know, that was lightning in a bottle, like to have that level. Cause that was, cause I mean, I had no interest in Mutant Chronicles, knew nothing about it. Didn't care about the game Warzone or whatever it was, but like that Siege of the Citadel was like, I would have friends over on Friday. We'd be playing fucking Siege. We'd play Dragon Strike. We'd play Omega Virus. We'd play Siege of the Citadel.
And you were like, I don't really care about any of the background of this stupid game.
I don't know. This is
Bauhaus.
A fucking,
what the hell is
this
Bauhaus?
Is a fucking, I liked Bauhaus because the dude has like the gas mask and he looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, but you're like, hey, there's a whole
other than a fucking 80s synth-pop band.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole 80s band dedicated to this.
Oh, well, I was listening to Kraftwerk at the time, so I don't want to be your sex object. Have no feeling, no self-respect.
The great thing about Warzone was it was so stereotypical, like to like the nth degree, where it's like the Americans are capital and it's all about like money and mercenary work.
I mean,
work.
Americans are like that.
Yeah. And the British were the Imperials and, you know,
hoity-toity.
Yeah, they all hoity-toity and they had like, they were all dressed like, all their soldiers were dressed like doughboys from World War One. and like the Japanese were the Mishima. Yep. You know, it's like, we're a giant like 80s cyberpunk corporation. Yep. I'm like, oh man.
I like the Mishima because they had the robot samurai.
Yeah. William Gibson's rolling over in his grave if he was dead.
William Gibson in the future is rolling over in his grave.
Yeah. What was the... and Venus was Bauhaus, the Germans. We are the Germans.
We are very efficient.
The only thing they didn't have is... You'd figure from a game from the 80s and 90s would have a Soviet army.
No
nothing.
Soviets.
No Soviets. Yeah. And, of course, you had the Planet X, the whatever the... those guys were called
the mutants.
No, the demon guys. I don't remember what they were called.
Oh, I don't know.
And they and don't forget the Vatican. The Vatican had their own whatever that was called. I don't remember what it was.
The saints.
Something like
they
that.
Looked like Protectorate of Minoth.
Yeah, they looked like Minoth.
Minoth looks like them.
Yeah. It was
Mutant Chronicles did it first. So.
They totally had a pope. There was a pope figure that you could
Cyber pope.
Oh man, cyberpunk. I love cyberpunk, but I just can't read it anymore. It's so like. Cyberpunk does not age well.
Of course not. It's just like some of the, it's like Star Trek. Like some of the technology is just like, we have better stuff than that now. And then
but
others of it is like, okay, there's no like.
The difference is Star Trek is supposed, is so like just like I guess it's like,
well, it's so much farther from the time it was written.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with Cyberpunk, is Cyberpunk is supposed to be a near future.
Yeah.
So like when Johnny Mnemonic is like, I've got 32 gigabytes in my head. It's like,
I have 32 gigabytes in my wedding ring.
Yeah. It's like, that is not impressive.
Well, so
a gaming console has a terabyte and it's made for games.
So yeah, I have my PS3. I got to get a new one. My PS3 is dying. I got to get a PS4. But I wanted to get a bunch of cartoons onto a flash drive for my daughter. Just plug it into the PS3. It's a great way of doing it. You don't have to worry about streaming it.
Sure.
It plays really quick, really smooth. So I'm looking in my house. I can't find a fucking flash drive that I have that's over a gig.
That's
like,
awesome.
God, how old am I?
Old-ass flash drives.
I know. That's what I was like. I'm like, how old am I?
Yeah. You'll be pleased to know that you can go and buy much bigger flash drives for almost nothing.
Yeah. I know. Well, I ended up buying one like a $5 8-gig flash drive.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I know.
Jesus Christ,
it's fucking insane.
What the hell's wrong with me? And there's nothing of importance in any of these flash drives. They just hold them around. I'm like, I could put like a fucking Word file on this, and that's it. I mean, Word file and 3 pictures.
Oh, Games Plus auction's coming up.
Yes. So yeah, GP auction's coming up. Hopefully, okay. I'm gonna get a little personal here on this one, but I'm hoping that my wife's grandmother does not die, because I know her family, and her family loves to fuck me over. Like when I've got something really fun
like
to do,
cosmically
fucks me over. So I know that she's going to die, and I'm going to have to miss the auction. I just know it because she's like on her death. This woman's been on her deathbed for 15 years, as long as Diana and I have known each other. This woman has been on her deathbed, and I know. I'm not saying anything that she's not a bad person. She's not, you know, I wish her no ill will. I'm just saying.
I mean, everyone dies.
Yes.
Like if you wish someone is dead, it's a very pointless wish because that wish is going
to
come true.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily want her to die now just to get it out of the way. I just like, I'm just like, please don't let it be within that time frame where I'm going
You should just wish for her to make a full recovery.
Yeah, exactly. I hope she makes a full recovery on this. But it's like every about year or so, we have to get that call of like, this is it. This is going to be it for grandma. This is it. And I'm just like, and I just got that call like last week. And I'm like, I know this is going to happen. I know this is going to happen. But no, and I'm thinking that this year for the auction, if I do make it, I'm going to live stream some of it through the Facebook page because I want people to kind of see how it is. And I keep telling Floyd at the Games Plus, I'm like, just set up a camera and a computer and you could stream it all you want. It's great. You don't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no legal consequences. It's not like someone's going to, you know, watch it and go like, I'm offended by this. It's not. You're not going to offend anybody.
It's a gaming auction.
Yeah. I mean, everyone does it. It's great. And it's huge. And people would love to see it.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. Like, there's a lot. Like, people come from kind of far to sell and buy.
I'm going to take Pat B with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. He wants to. If he's in town, if he's
not in
Uzbekistan.
I think I'm going to be going this year. Yeah. At least to the mini, maybe the RPGs.
I'm only going to the mini auction.
Maybe the RPGs, but definitely the minis. And I mean, I don't think anyone's gonna be selling Lamentations because that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I've razor focused my goal on collecting all the Lamentations books.
Yeah,
I want them all.
Yeah, the RPG auction's kind of weird. I'd go to just get second to D&D. Not a ton of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think most of that stuff is kind of out in
disseminated.
Yeah. I don't think like people are really like dumping their collections anymore,
right?
But that's about it. That's all. And they kind of combined it so it's RPG stuff with like Fantasy Flight games, like those type of board games.
Okay.
Not like family board games or historical board games,
right?
But those kind of like Forbidden Stars and stuff like
right.
that, and all of that shit. Like that's what resellers really go there and grab.
You know that you should be, because all those GW Fantasy Flight games, buckets of ducats.
Oh, by the way, we're sorry for last podcast where we screwed that one up.
No, I had no I stand by everything I said. I said there's a possibility it might be happening, but it would be very weird. And sure enough, it did happen, and it's
very
weird.
Yeah, but they did mention.
And all of the stuff that's been solicited, that was my thing, is like they were like taking numbers for stuff that was pretty far out, which I was like, you know, you think they would tell the distribution like, hey, this is gonna go away, but all the stuff that's being pre-sold is going to release.
Yeah,
so like nothing, no announced products have been canceled.
Well, as I say, what I'm looking forward to is when they do their big like GW dump off sale, because Fantasy Flight pretty notorious for doing this. They'll have a game. When they lose the contract for it, they sell it for next to nothing, usually around Christmas time. So,
well, they dumped almost all their GW stuff on the last holiday, but I would definitely be looking for the holiday special this year.
Yes,
because they do a holiday sale every year.
Yeah,
and it usually lasts like 3 days, and it's generally disgusting prices. So,
Well, I mean, they did that with AT-43 when they bought it.
Yeah,
AT-43
when they sold it.
When they sold it, yeah. They dumped all that AT-43 stuff that was gone. Dust, same way, and that's why Dust took like Dust still hasn't recovered from when Fantasy Flight dumped it.
Yeah,
I think they're still trying to make a comeback because Fantasy Flight sold so much of that at cheap prices.
I was just like, what's killing Force of Will right now? Just like the prices are just so low.
Yeah,
the game can't sustain.
Well, yeah, and so like when Fantasy Flight's gonna do that, they're gonna sell. So I would look for stuff like Forbidden Stars or
yeah, I pre-ordered a copy of Forbidden Stars. Hopefully I get it.
What's the 40K Talisman?
Relic.
Relic, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd pick up Relic. Relic's not a bad game.
Yeah, it's cool. The bust. I really like how they used busts of the characters so you can get more detail in your like who you're playing as.
Chaos
cool.
in the Old World is fun.
Yeah.
I would recommend
Chaos
that.
Chaos in the Old World's good. Shadow the expansion, the Horned Rat's really good too.
Yeah. Well, that's really good. I don't know.
I hear lots of good things about the Blood Bowl card game.
Yeah.
I've never played it because I don't care about Blood Bowl, but supposedly it's really good. Yeah. Team Manager.
Yeah, and then any of the RPG stuff, I'd pick up if they're selling it.
Yeah, I don't like the percentile.
You know what I'm really surprised about?
RPGs.
Now, this is me being an idiot, which, no, it's like, I'm the smartest man alive. Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Like, I thought for sure the second edition Wyfret books, I thought those would be super cheap. Like, because it's like, who cares? It's second edition Wyfret.
Oh, people want those.
I was at a used bookstore and I saw a bunch of them and they were like priced at like $50 a piece. And I'm like, there is no way Ashes of Middenheim, but like Old World Bestiary is worth $45. And I looked it up online. I'm like, sure enough, it's worth $45. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, it's because
I sold so much of that.
It's because the new edition is such a is not anywhere. It's not an upgraded edition. So everyone. And that's why I'd say it failed, because it didn't do well. The newest one with all the accessories did not do well. It did far worse than the second edition. And the reason it is because the people who wanted to play Wyfret, they want the percentile system that's Wyfret. Like, they want to play Wyfret. They don't want to play this other game with a Wyfret skin.
Yeah.
Because that's all it is. The new game, you could do any fantasy universe. Like, they could make Runebound the RPG because that's their fantasy
world.
That's
what they'll probably will do.
And it would be like, oh, okay. Because it's closer to Star Wars than it is to Wyfret. You know, that. So everyone who wants to play Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay is just like, I'm just going to go after the game that exists that I want to play, not this new thing that's not the game that I want to play.
I think I have the Kislev book is the only one I still have. I think I'd have to look and see if I still have it. I don't know.
I never liked. I really liked
Realm of the Ice Queen. I think it's what it's called.
I liked the job system where you progress to the different jobs.
That was
jobs.
Actually kind of fun too.
Cool.
Where you wanted to buy, if you wanted to get into a new job, you had to buy all of like the
gear.
Things.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I want to be a rat catcher. You have to buy 12 dead rats.
Right. I like the or kill 12 rats.
Yeah. Once again, Steve, yawning on the podcast.
Yeah, no
wouldn't be a podcast without it. Codcast.
I think Codcast. We're talking about fish. I think
or the College of DuPage.
Yeah, that's true. The big thing that sucked about it is that, for me anyway, with my group, and maybe other people have had a different experience, but I used to call it Whiff Rip, as in W-I-F-F, Whiff, because when you start, everything misses.
Yeah.
Like, the characters miss, the enemies miss. It's just a fucking miss fest. And it's kind of comical, like, how ineffectual everything is at combat. Because it's like, you've got a 35% chance to hit. And you just fucking miss. So everyone was just kind of, like, missing. It was very obnoxious. And, like, the game was, like combat tension was not there because everyone's just like, well, everyone's just going to miss.
Which is actually kind of funny, because you'd think that Wyfret would be the one that would be very combat heavy.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be, but everyone misses. And then once there's, like, a threshold, like, you go from missing everything to hitting everything, where all of the characters hit everything and all of the enemies hit everything, and then everything is just dying. It's like the most lethal. So there's no progression, and the scale is just completely off the charts. It was a very awkward, and that's why I ended up not playing it for super long, because like we try to run it and it's just like everyone misses and people be getting frustrated, and it's like I can't fucking hit anything. Like combats would take forever because no one would hit, and then like one dude would get lucky and score a hit, and it's just like bam, and I'd kill a guy. It's just like, oh cool. But like, rather than be exciting, it would just be like fucking finally, like, you know. Nice. it was too much, which is, you know, I was disappointed. And maybe, like I said, maybe my experience was not everyone else's experience, but that's something that I noticed. And I think that's and it kind of soured me on percentile systems, is like they just seem to be, you know, because you're rolling D10s, you know, that means if your stat is below 5, you're probably going to fail a lot. And if your stat is above 5, you're probably going to succeed a lot. There doesn't seem to be the percentage doesn't seem to actually play out the way you would think it.
I love the D10 systems. So, just a couple other things. The Death Watch box for 40K came out. Actually, really nice set.
Very good deal.
Very good deal. Like, all the figures are really nice. Like, especially the Death Watch figures. Very flavorful.
And it's way cheap too compared to buying it separately.
Yeah, and it comes with the Harlequins as the enemy, which is really nice too.
Oh yeah, because there's another one the Kill Team box is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, that's what I think.
There's two things with Death Watch in it. There's the new starter, which is the Eldar versus Death Watch.
Yeah.
Which is a cheap, good deal.
Yeah.
As well. And there's also the Kill Team starter box, which is Death Watch versus Tau, which is also a cheap, good deal.
Yeah. I mean, those are both really nice. I like those. I just wanted to throw that out there because I saw them and I was like, oh man, if I was 16 and loved 40K, I'd play buy this. But I'm not. I'm double that age. So I'm kind of like, psh. Kids games.
Yes.
Bring me something with Napoleonics.
You know, say, yes, your game where you play with little toy men is definitely more mature.
You're right. Exactly.
We do it more realistically.
I don't want a realistic. I want to play a game in the African veldt.
Your fucking Congo thing.
That has
it's so dumb.
Oh, it's actually a fun game. I played a little bit of it.
I hate it.
It has Harambe. And when you hate that game, you hate Harambe.
Well, I guess I hate Harambe.
Listen.
The idea of Harambe.
The idea of Harambe. Harambe is the idea of Harambe. I also picked up the new White Dwarf, the new big one.
I ended up with two copies.
It's actually like a...
It's awesome.
It's not awesome.
I thought it was awesome. Compared to the
weekly ones, yes.
I actually didn't mind the weekly ones, but like the weekly ones were so shallow. Like you can tell that they just split up one magazine into four.
Yeah.
So it was nice having an actual, like, this magazine has sections.
Well, it's big, and I one of the sections I liked was, like, 20 years ago, it was this issue of
that
White Dwarf.
That was awesome.
And I was like, I have that issue downstairs.
That was fucking great. I loved that. It was like, here's the highlights from this issue. It was, like, talking about this and, like, showing the old shitty fucking 40K models.
Yeah.
I was like, yes. And then there was a couple that there's like, yep, this model is still the one we use. It's like, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to talk about some
kicks. Like the Lemon Russ.
Yeah, the Lemon Russ. I wanted to talk about some Kickstarter news. So one thing is
Kickstart
my heart. I want everyone to check out Battle Valor, which is a 15 millimeter game that's on Kickstarter right now. It's run by Ed Spedigew, who is a former GW like regional manager. Like he was like a big dog, friend to just about everyone who's ever worked in Games Workshop.
Super nice guy.
But he knows his shit. Like he would run games that were just some of the best games I've ever been run through in my life. He was one of those guys. He's old school British. Ah, talks like this. We make fun of him on the podcast every once in a while.
Galactic.
Galactic. He's a Welshman. He would run games like history. It was like kind of my first introduction to like true historicals, where he would have like he would run a World War II game, or he'd run in Africa. Darkest African game or something like that, and he would like kind of guide you through it, and it was the most fun I ever had. So I kind of think that because what he's doing now is he's putting out a rule set for 15 millimeter fantasy. It's mass battle, so I'm thinking from what I've seen of his stuff so far, it's going to be like 6th edition in 15 millimeter scale, which is something I've actually talked about in this podcast of it being...
It would work,
I think, very well. So I would definitely check it out. I've already pledged for it just to get the rule set and a pack of figs, because the figs are really nice. He's got a really sweet War Mammoth for 15 mil. Everything looks like 3rd to 6th edition fantasy stuff. So if you like that and you kind of want to do something in fantasy that's not... God's given scale, you want to do something that where you could blow through the figures really quickly and you don't feel like paying out the ass for 10 mil Warmaster, this is a good alternative for it. I really am recommend. And also, Kingdom Death 2 coming out.
Yep.
So get your pledges in now so that in 2022, when it finally comes out, you can get your Kingdom Death.
It was 2 years to get the Kingdom Death.
Yeah. I might actually pledge on it just because I just like the sculpt so much. But
I could use another box to sit with my other box.
It would be
closet.
So funny if I get the Kingdom Death 2 Kickstarter box, bring it here, open it up, we look at everything, and yours, Kingdom Death 1, is still sitting.
It will
in your
still
closet.
Be sealed.
It won't. You'll be selling it soon, I bet.
No, I actually discussed that. I discussed that with the other investor in my with my because that Kingdom Death is not 100% mine.
Yeah,
I went halvesies on that, and I discussed. I was like, hey, you know, this thing's selling for fucking money on eBay, like. Real money. And he was like, nah, I think I'd rather play it. And I was like, all right. So I'm not going to sell it.
And is it, I'd rather play it means that it's sitting in a closet.
I mean, he'd rather play it, but he's not going to put it together and paint it. So it's going to sit in the closet until I get around to it, which is who fucking knows.
Well, anyway, on that one.
Because, I mean, I'd rather have the money, but whatever.
So any other
questions? Although the game's supposedly really fucking good, so.
Yeah. And actually, I was talking with my barber the other day. He's having some people over to his shop to play a Kickstarter game that I guess was created by a couple of local people called Witchborn. It had already gone through the Kickstarter process. Looked pretty interesting. I don't know. It's a it's kind of dice-based combat system. The minis are they're not proprietary minis, so you could use any sort of generic fantasy minis that you want. But it's all based on like mats. So when you buy the game, you get a bunch of play mats. And that's how you do it. It's very interesting looking.
That's weird.
I would take a look at it if you're listening. I can't necessarily recommend it. I would only recommend it in terms of like it's their local guys.
What it sounds like, yeah.
And so I would, you know, I always support your local gaming people. There's a lot of good.
Whoa.
There's a lot of good gaming people. I love Tiny Epic Kingdoms. It's a fantastic game, and that guy's local.
There's a Tiny Space thing too.
Yeah, he's done a ton of them. He's done Tiny Epic Galaxies, Tiny Epic.
That's the one.
Tiny
Epic
Old West. I think he did one too. But you know, they're little small boxes, so why not? But yeah, I would totally recommend it. Totally recommend taking a look at it. I shouldn't say it. I'm gonna go. I think it's like the 16th. I'm gonna go play at his shop and see how it goes.
All right. there's actually one that came out recently called Grifters, and I believe that was also. Made by some local guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Western Chicago suburbs, a lot of guys coming out, making games. I think it's because, Steve, I'm going to say it's us.
It's just the
GW
just the two
bunker.
Of us.
I thought you
meant, like, personally, like, the two of us.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. Oh, but okay. I'm saying is, like, you know, we were instrumental in creating the Chicagoland gaming community as it is now. I think we should take some credit for it.
I'm not going to take any credit for that. Oh. If they were making a bunch of miniatures games, maybe.
But you're like, it's a card game. About sports ball. I don't want to deal with this.
It's a card game about sports. Sounds stupid.
Stupid.
It's like, your friend made this. You know the person who made it. He's a nice guy. You like him. That's still stupid.
It's smacking out of his hands. Yeah.
Your game's dumb. Stop talking about sports, you idiot.
That's the hardest thing ever is like when you know the person who created the game and you know the game is terrible.
I'll tell them their game is shit. I would hope that's the thing. Like, I don't want, if I made a game, which I'm, you know, perpetually fucking working on, like, quote-unquote working. I, like, jot down ideas and never do anything past that. I have some fucking really good ones, too. But anyway, if I gave my game to someone to test...
This is all just Deep Space Nine, the RPG, Steve.
Well, the idea I have is it's a... Maybe miniatures, but using cards to test with it. At least a game where you have a character and you have five summoned, like, demons or whatever. And then that's the idea. And, like, you, like... I think I'll just try it out on a chessboard. I have got to get past the prototypes, but like, I have a concept, so we'll see. Basically, my idea is that you build a deck, but instead of having to build a deck like with Magic, where you have to like put cards together and like figure out how to build your deck, you choose units like an army, and they just give you cards, and then that makes the deck for you. Huh. So the deck's pre-built when you're playing, and then you use the deck to play with the figures.
Yeah,
that's one of the ideas. But anyway,
kind of like Battle Lore.
If I made it. And I gave it to someone to test, and it was shit, and they didn't tell me it was shit, I would be fucking furious.
Well, that's different. That's to give it a test. I mean, after you create the game already and it's out there to have someone.
Well, I mean, if the
out,
game's yeah. created, and it's then who cares? Like, I care about what the market says, because someone can tell me that game is shit, but if I'm selling 100,000 copies, I'll be like, okay.
And that's how Cards Against Humanity plays.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Cards Against Humanity is a non-game, and it's probably the most successful thing in the tabletop sector that isn't a IP like Magic or 40K.
Just wait till they come out with Cards Against Humanity, the miniatures game.
There's just no miniatures in it, just empty boxes.
Cards Against Humanity, the miniatures game. Cards Against Humanity, the RPG. Cards Against Humanity, the flamethrower.
Actually, if they did a Cards Against Humanity minis game, which didn't have any minis, like if it was called Cards Against Humanity, the miniatures game, and in parentheses, with no miniatures, and it was just empty boxes, I bet you they would still sell it.
Yeah, they probably would, yeah.
I mean, they did sell literal shit.
Yeah, but that's different. I would buy literal shit.
Did you?
No. Oh, that would be good for growing mushrooms.
No, I think it's sterilized. It's totally sterilized. It was like, you know, vacuum sealed and shit, so it wouldn't be good for anything.
Oh yeah, that maybe not. No. You get a good cow patty, you can grow some some psychedelics on it.
Delicious cow patty.
One pill makes you smaller and one makes you large.
Unacceptable.
What
you have done here today is unacceptable.
When it's 10 feet tall.
I'm meeting you halfway, you hippies.
It was not me, your old friend Wavy Gravy. It was I, Montgomery Burns. What I was smoking was, what's he say? Oh, was harmless tobacco. All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
Play on Steve.
You could like our sister podcast, Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about video games and like how no one's playing No Man's Sky anymore.
And inappropriate touching.
And inappropriate touching.
Now, we don't talk about inappropriate touching. We do inappropriate touching.
Well, that's great for a audio-only podcast.
Well, yeah, you describe it. That, some people are very stimulated by the auditory sound. You know, like,
and now I'm touching your butt.
What about ASMR?
Your butt is flopping around in my fingers.
Doesn't ASMR go like this?
I think it's supposed to be a really calming sound. Like, it's not exactly a whisper, because a whisper sounds somewhat aggressive. So rather than a whisper, it's more of a very monotone. You have a very kind of not necessarily feminine, not necessarily masculine tone to your voice. That's the idea. And then you talk about things. And a lot of them are very strange. And they're just reading, like you would grab a rule book and read it. Yeah, that's what we should do. We should do Game Classy ASMR. And what we'll do is we'll read rule books.
We don't the
old out of print rule books so we don't get sued.
Oh, yeah. So the so, and also, if you do like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes or on our YouTube page, if you leave a negative comment, I am going to look at what else you've commented on or, like, videos that are in your favorite section just so I could see, like, what kinky shit you're into, because that's like, one of my number one things. Like, I'll ever look at someone and be like, this podcast is stupid, and then the only other videos that they comment on are, like, foot fetish videos.
Nice.
I'm like, what's going on here? It's like... Were you hoping for a foot fetish on this podcast? Because maybe.
I don't have a foot fetish.
No, I'm just saying. It was like, that's what the guy would have done.
I don't think feet are gross, but I don't.
I'm foot neutral. I'm just like you.
Same.
And I just
it's just kind of like, it's their feet. You walk around on them.
Yeah.
That's what they're for.
It's like butts.
Butts.
Yeah. Also, Dragonfall. Dragon-fall.com. For all your Dragonfall needs.
Dragonfall needs. It's going to be a big tournament, group of tournaments in the local area, as well as having a Bazaar, which is exciting. I saw that update, and I was like, ooh, Bazaar. Now we're talking. Yeah. Now you got a reason to go, even if you're not playing in the tournaments.
Which is, for me, because I can't play any tournaments right now, but I'm going to go to look at stuff for sale. I mean, one of my favorite things is going to... I know you don't like it, but the... what's the
Little
Wars in Chicagoland. Like, they have terrible, like, Bazaar, but every once in a while I'll go there and I'll find an out of print rule set that I know is like worth a bajillion dollars, and they'll be selling it for like $5.
Like when we had the Bazaar at the bunker, and I bought the old Realm of Chaos books from that guy for $5 each, and they were like more than $200 at that time.
I could beat that. My best Bazaar story.
That was ridiculous.
And I don't...
Every Bazaar purchase I've ever made is kind of that level of just insane, but I want to hear what you got.
Okay. So, one year during... back in the day when they would do, like, the Chicago Golden Demon Games Day. They would, you know, That was when Ed Spettigue was like running it, so he would do ridiculous things. Like he would, the giveaways that he would do, just because he's like, we got this product, let's get rid of it.
Yeah, the fire sales and stuff too.
Yeah. So there was a massive box of random blisters from stores that had, you know, shipped it back to GW headquarters and was like done with it. So he had a contest and this guy won the contest, right? So he took all of the blisters that he wanted out and he had a box that was probably had about 250 blisters of Warmaster.
Oh shit.
In it. I go in there and he was selling them for about $5 a piece. I looked at it and I just said, I'll give you $200 for that entire box. And he looked at me and he was like, sure. So I gave him $200. 250 blisters of Warmaster.
That's fucking disgusting.
I know. It's like, it doesn't make you tingle a little bit when you're thinking about it? You're just like, you're angry that I got such a good deal on that.
Nah, it's just, I'm more impressed with that guy's like laziness, because that's really what that is.
Yeah,
like,
but this was also like, I think 2005.
Still, a dollar, like less than a dollar a blister is fucking nuts. Like, yeah. That's crazy. Like, that's just some dude who's like, I don't really give a fuck about this shit. I don't want to deal with it. So yeah. I'm just going to blow. And that's what that. I've seen people blow stuff out like that. I'm just like, oh, damn. If you just worked a little bit harder, you'd make a lot more money. Well, but hey, you know, if someone doesn't give a shit about the amount of money they're making, I am happy that someone took advantage of that. And if it was you.
And Diana and I had just started dating when that happened. Like, but we'd been dating for a couple months by that point, but just started dating in our courtship.
Was this the first time that she was aware of your itis?
Probably.
Okay.
I went over to her apartment afterwards because we were watching something. And I'm like, while we're watching this, I'm going to be taking all of these figures out of these blisters and putting them in little plastic containers, just so you know. And here we are.
Forewarned and forearmed.
Here we are 10 years later, and our entire house is filled with miniatures.
All I can say is forewarned and forearmed. So.
Yes. All right. So until next time, Steve.
Butt tingling action.
I'm Tiny Rick. Fuck.
Game classy.